Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Thursday. It's the 23rd of August, a beautiful, beautiful pre-fall day, late summer, just gorgeous. A little nip in the air. It's nice. I like it. You don't look happy.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm happy.
Okay. For you, you're happy.
I'm happy. I was just looking at you. You're doing something you almost never do.
No.
Because, you know, this room is the war of who controls the temperature in the room.
It was chilly in here this morning.
Yeah, and so you are wearing a shmata.
I'm wearing a shmata. I have covered my arms.
And I've never seen that.
Yeah,
before.
No, that's, it was a little chilly this morning. But that's the way I say it. Was even, but I was sort of dressed for summer when I got up this morning and then realized when I went outside, I'm like, oh, maybe I should put on a jacket.
Yeah,
it's just a little subtle reminder. Well, good morning, everybody. Let me introduce the panel to you. Alan Chartok, of course, we just spoke to, and good morning. Jen Smith is with us. She is a reporter, a wonderful journalist from the Berkshire Eagle.
She
good morning.
Is.
Top of the morning.
Terrific.
Very nice to have you with us. The district attorney for the county of Albany is with us.
Albany.
Did he say Albany?
Yeah. I was just mocking Garrison Keillor, which is probably a cheap shot at this point. good morning, sir. How are you? David Soares is here.
I'm great. How are you?
Nice to have you here. I'm fine. Thank you. Rosemary Armeo in a bonus day.
One more day. I actually am leaving today, though.
So. All right, back to Bosnia and then Jordan.
I'm on Jordan.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's
garden spots of the world.
It's been lovely having you for the past week.
It's been very fun. You guys are a very big hoot, and I'm looking forward to new panelists again tonight. I've been on with Jen before, but not with David.
Well, we look forward to. You also just taped the media projects. We have that to look forward to as well. So. Lots of good stuff. All right, let's talk about what's happening in the world. Watching the White House deal with the Cohen Manafort convictions was amusing yesterday. I don't know if everyone was amused, but I was bemused and amused, I think, by how they dealt with it. The problem was that they kept on saying that, the president had no knowledge of any of this, and then they kept on showing these pesky tapes where he did and things that he said that indicated that he did. And so they just said, well, we have no knowledge of that and kind of moved on. But it is there is the debate is this a problem for the president when you obviously a problem for these two men, Manafort and Cohen, but will that transfer in its troublesomeness to the president of the United States? And we also, and just one other thing that we can add to this is that we now know that it was Alan for months has said, you know, it only takes one. And in the Manafort jury, that apparently is exactly what it was. It was one lone holdout who blocked the conviction on all of the counts. Otherwise, he would have been convicted on all 18 counts.
You know, Joe, I was fascinated because the CNN guys and the MSNBC guys were walking around the halls talking to the troglodytes. You know who the troglodytes are, the Mitch McConnells and the other guys who were in the Republican party, and they were saying...
head troglodyte, right?
The head troglodyte. And what do you make of this? And they would say, I need more information. I need more information. I need this. I need that. So in terms of the wisdom that this imparts, I think, to the electorate is that, hey, if anybody has to hold a Trump, because they're not going to do it, anybody has to hold Trump responsible, it's going to have to be the House of Representatives, who is going to have to bring an impeachment, which for the 10 millionth time is not an indictment, but an impeachment, which is a political process in which they say you're on your way out. If in fact lightning strikes and you get a Senate at the same time, which almost no one expects to have happen, this could be lights out, political lights out for Trump. But as Lionel Trilling wrote so well in a song that Pete Seeger sang, which was, when in doubt, just lie, 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 lie. And this guy is the master liar of all times. He just lies. And they put him on Fox, and they put somebody across from him who asks innocuous questions, and he lies some more. And up to now, you would have thought when you saw the tapes about Greg grabbing women by the you-know-whats and all the rest of it, that he was done. But he wasn't. He wasn't, you know, he just went blithely on. So I'm not nearly as sanguine about, you know, the idea that this guy is in trouble as so many other people are now.
Okay. Well, that was long and rambling, but I'm not quite sure what to respond to. I think that what was striking to me in the comment
did you say that was long and rambling?
Is I
that
did.
What okay.
Did you agree?
No, I don't. I
you thought it was pointed
I
and,
thought
and
it was
direct?
Pointed.
Okay, then maybe you should answer. Maybe you have a more direct answer.
You go ahead. I've just never seen anybody do that before.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, David. I'll get even.
Okay.
I think what you just witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, is the response from the panelist who will not be here next week, and the panelist who will be here next week. I think that was the difference. But go
Welcome
ahead.
Welcome to the roundtable, everyone.
I think what I was most struck by reading on this one juror who's given the dope behind the scenes at the Manafort deliberations is how effective the Trump strategy is. And we can sit here and talk about his lying and his boldness, but it's policy that's freaking working. They believe that the motivation of the prosecutors, who they found boring, by the way, because they had such an immensity of documentation and evidence, was to go get Trump. And they did want to protect him. The one woman said, well, Paul Manafort was really guilty, but I didn't want to find him guilty. That there's an appetite out there among people that Trump and his minions are speaking to directly. It's very effective.
Absolutely. Well, no, that's true. I mean, look, the strategy and prosecutors are always going to be at a disadvantage when it comes to the court of public opinion because we have prohibitions against speaking out about our cases. We cannot potentially, you know, taint the possible jury pool. And so there are rules prohibiting us from engaging with the media. And therefore, you know, the Mueller team and the prosecutors in this instance are at a disadvantage, especially when every single Sunday programming you have all of his minions, Trump's minions out there talking about the disingenuousness of this prosecution. And the only time that the prosecutors actually have a time to speak is through through the pleadings. It's through their actions. And I think they spoke very, very loudly this past week.
So to Rosemary's point, though, that you have this dynamic of one juror who wants to basically save the president. Is that unusual that we're seeing that?
I don't know that without hearing from that particular juror, I don't know that I would attribute that to her wanting to save the president. There are jurors who sit, you know, who are impaneled every single day in the United States of America,
right,
who believe that that the standard is beyond all doubt. It's beyond a reasonable doubt, but they elevate the standard by believing that it's beyond all doubt. We've seen it happen in Albany. It happens all across the country.
Jen?
Yeah, I just think it's, again, it's not necessarily a unique strategy in that regard, but I think as far as the messaging goes, it's, you know, something that as consumers of the media, you kind of have to, you know, just look beyond and try to look at, you know, what's next and look ahead versus dwelling on what's being said, because it's going to keep being a refrain, I think, that we're going to hear, and until anything else comes out with documents, this next trial, if there's, you know, any change in the Mueller investigation, you know, then there's more information to go on. But other than that, you just kind of have to take it at face value and not get caught up in the hype. I mean, that's essentially what
The one thing I haven't heard that I would like to is I think we need more FBI and other financial analysts looking at white collar crime. Yeah. It is outrageous. I agree that Manafort had to wait to become sign on as campaign manager for Trump to be caught. His crimes were outrageous. They were well known to us working overseas a long time ago. You remember, Joe, I said it when he was first elected. Oh, my God, look at who Trump picked.
Right.
This guy's
right.
a monster in Ukraine. And he was not caught, the same with Gates, the same with the whole crew that we're looking at now have committed huge crimes that we forgive in our society.
And I think you know what could really be radical and beneficiary is if you had an outside approach, like something that happened with the Panama Papers or the Paradise Papers, to really look at international resources, to look at this from another angle.
David made a point. First of all, I think that the president is violative of a norm. And that norm is presidents don't interfere in court cases. They don't. They're not supposed to. But this one does. It's not a law.
Does. Yeah, you're
does.
Right.
And he does because he wants to taint the jury pool, which he may have well been effective at. They're not supposed to read the stuff. They're not supposed to see a newspaper. They weren't sequestered, but he did. But then, David, to be fair, if you watch CNN and MSNBC, the gloves are off. They don't even fool around anymore about Trump being a liar, and they say it again and again and again. So if you happen to be watching that channel as opposed to the one that his people watch, Fox, you would be getting, and the independents in this country do watch those channels, you would be getting a different view of it. I'm so sorry for my rambling there, but I am a virtual rambler.
Yes.
I don't think it's just limited to CNN or MSNBC, however. The Washington Post has a daily tracker on the president's lies. The problem is that the president has normalized lying.
Yes.
And it happens so frequently that people just shrug it off. And we've yet to be presented with a real global crisis that requires a leader with credibility to mount alliances throughout the world to combat that crisis. So he continues to do it for his political benefit, but those lies have yet to translate into anything globally.
But it also seems that we don't even have a law, or that it's constitutionally founded to protect people from what a president could
When Congress just abdicates their responsibility for being the other, check on the presidency, this is what you're going to have. Mm-hmm. We have cowards right now in our Congress who will issue press releases instead of getting on camera and engaging, the people and the constituents that they serve. Mm-hmm. We've been abandoned by Congress. And the only people that seem to have courage to say anything are the people that are on the way out.
Or the Democrats. In other words, there are people on the other side, and they are within striking distance of taking both the Congress and possibly way out the Senate. So it's not as if the only people who are talking, and look, we heard Nadler this morning saying that, if they flip the House and he's going to be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, this is going to take some very serious investigating.
Yeah. I don't know that it's all Democrats, however. Democrats just can't seem to stay on message.
Pathetic. Just Jeez. Pathetic. Oh, my God. Weak, ununified, old, tired. Yeah. Not exciting at all. And you would think it would be so easy to counter Trump, who's lying and incompetent and all the other adjectives we've been thrown around.
Bumbling, right?
But bumbling, yeah. And so why can we not pick that? I mean, you had such high praise for Schumer before this all began. What do you think of him now?
I was wrong.
Mark that time on the tape.
Hey Mike, flag that.
And by the way, I have said that before. I am deeply disappointed.
I still enjoyed it.
You look at Senator Mark Warner, who the other day when he was asked about the confirmation process, should they continue doing this, the interviews and such, and he was like, oh yeah, we should do that. I'm like looking at this guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, where have you been?
We should do that.
You been? I mean, Mitch McConnell basically deprived the people of the United States of America of having a judge that should have been appointed by the previous president, and he played that game. But here you are, you know, as a Democrat, now with an opportunity to do something
right.
to prevent the Supreme Court of the United States of America from going so far down that road that we will never get back to you
where
know,
we are now.
Preserving yeah. the interests yeah. of people.
And they're all like that. Adam Schiff, go off on him. I mean, he thinks he can win by making a record number of appearances on Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
I swear to God.
Well, I was talking to Alan about this yesterday in his office before the show, but I saw Elizabeth Warren on CNN yesterday morning, and there was nothing there. I mean, I like her, but she was saying nothing other than, well, we should wait and see. I don't think we can put impeachment, but there's no meat to it.
You know what? They have a strategy. It may be a wrong strategy, but it's a strategy.
And it is. Reveal all.
Well, no. I mean, it's clear that what they want to do is to say, don't alienate the people sitting on the fence by talking impeachment, for example. Nobody is going to mention the impeachment word because they think that by being namby-pamby, and I agree with you about Mark Warner, by the way. I'm about to give him a nickname, which is Mumbles, because when he
Dick
goes—
Dick Tracy, remember?
Mumbles.
We have 10 seconds.
He goes on and mumbles. But I do think that the Democrats need to be a little bit more vigorous.
We'll be right back after this short break. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Jen Smith, David Soares, and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. To prove we read them, we have a stack right now.
We do. Here's our stack, a short stack. Corruption. The Donald responded Tuesday night to the conviction news by staging another one of his ghoulish rallies. This is like Nero fiddling while Rome burns. That's from Dan in Fishkill. And Bobby says, crisis. David just mentioned when speaking about Trump lying that we hadn't had a global crisis where we needed him to perform otherwise. Two words, global warming, or do you prefer climate change? What more of a crisis would we need? Bye, Rosemary. It was great to hear you again. Safe travels. But before you go, Rosemary, I have to say, because you know, even while you're attacking me, that I have great love and affection for you, and that in fact we are working really hard. And I was talking in my morning conference with Stacey Perry Rosenberry, our wonderful director of things around here. She takes care of everything. We get another microphone in here now. She's going to get you a phone that
you can talk to us. I can sound off whenever the levels get too high. We just hope
that there is such a thing of like a cell phone that will work.
Like a bat phone?
Yeah, a magic phone.
A bat phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I need, a bat phone. Yeah.
And Keith says, high crimes and misdemeanors, GOP congressional response. Our founding fathers would surely agree that committing a crime, capital letters, in order to obtain the presidency falls in the category of high crimes and misdemeanors. John Faso swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. Trump's actions attacked our Constitution and our electoral process, and John Faso can't even muster the words that his oath demands. It is infuriating. It is interesting that they were going around talking to people, to the Republicans and trying to get them to say anything about this, at all. But I want to say something about this letter. We read them. You send them and we read them. So a lot of people write anti-Faso letters and we read them. But if somebody wants to write a pro-Faso letter, we'll read that one too.
Just plain devil's advocate here. I mean, these folks could just not know what's happening right now. They could all be just watching Fox.
That's funny. That's funny. I know you meant to be funny.
It's true.
But
they broadcast during, we had this confluence of two historic events where we had a lawyer for the president of the United States walk into a court and plead guilty to an indictment. And then we had a jury return a verdict.
And by the way, implicate the president. Yes. We're in it together. Yeah.
And Fox is reporting on a person, who suffered, a tragic event and the fact that she was murdered by an illegal immigrant. And so that's what Fox was broadcasting during this particular event, historic event. So,
I watched MSNBC that night, because I don't know why, I just had it on, I vary it. And they didn't mention the immigrant at all. That's also bad.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Well, I'm saying if...
They said, oh, wow, the news is being sucked, all the attention is being sucked away by this news on the double convictions. And they mentioned then the congressman from California who also got brought in on campaign finance charge, right?
That's right.
Never heard anything about it. I read about the young woman in Iowa in the newspaper the next day. Mm-hmm. Also wrong. Very, very wrong. It's on both sides.
Mueller question from Andrew in Middleburg. I'm hoping you might be able to answer this question for me. I'm unable to locate an answer online. If Trump fires Robert Mueller, won't the next person in the chain of command just take over and continue the investigation unimpeded? All the work they've accomplished won't disappear after all. Thank you for all your daily dialogue. And that's Andrew. Well, the answer to that one, right, is that he can't only fire Mueller. He has to also fire his attorney general, and he has to fire Rosenstein or Steen, depending on which part of the country you're from.
The Democrats are working really hard on figuring out what happens in case of a firing. Mm-hmm. And one is to secure those documents right away. They don't want them scattered.
Well, you have several grand juries that are conducting investigations at this moment who've subpoenaed records and, you know, have those records. It's okay, go ahead and fire everybody, but you still have pending litigation. You have a trial that is about to start, inconveniently so for this particular administration, because you know what? We're in the month of September already. We're in the month of September in another week.
So
you have another trial that is going to start, and then the prosecutors are going to have to decide whether they want to retry. You know,
the other ten counts.
So this thing is going to last into the political season. It's not like they're going to just call a timeout and say, okay, we're done.
What makes you think if he fires those three guys that he won't start firing U.S. attorneys who are conducting these grand jury investigations also? And I have another question for all of you, if you would. And that is, if you were a Republican senator right now facing reelection, if you were John Faso, and all of the contemporary thinking is that there's like 1/10 or 1/100 of a percentage point now separating Faso from his opponent, Delgado, what would you say? What would you do right now?
I would say thank you very much for offering to come in to do a rally for me, Mr. President, but you should stay home.
And you would say it out loud so people heard you say it.
If you said it out loud, he would. Chances are he would be at your doorstep, right?
No, but if you said it out loud, wouldn't he be? Wouldn't his people, the people who adore him, 90% of the Republican Party, Trump, wouldn't they be less inclined to come out and support you and to push your voting, your continuance? That's my question.
Well, look, that's a double-edged sword. Do you want a person whose staff continues to be let out in handcuffs coming to your town to try to motivate your base, or would you rather have him say something from afar?
Okay, I get it. But what would you do if you were one of those senators who was on the line or one of those congressmen who was on the line now?
Are we speculating? We're seeing what they're doing, which is to totally embrace Trump and poo-poo all of the convictions, felony confessions, investigations.
Right.
And it's working. Trump rating is going up right now. It's 45%. Mm-hmm. Scary.
But you should be, stepping up for your district. I mean, if you're running for a New York position, step up on New York issues and not let, these other things permeate your allegiances, permeate what you're supposed to be doing, which is your job.
They're all tied in, though. Faso's district's interested in health care. Mm-hmm. I can't think of one that isn't tied up with
I think the national issues reflect what's happening at the state level in terms of, whether it's corruption, whether it's lackluster slates of candidates in a lot of cases that aren't willing to say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done.
Anyway, Jason says, nothing will happen. Hi, panel. Nothing is going to come of this. The American public is numb and oblivious. We are slouching to the end of the republic, and the spineless two other branches are going to do nothing about it, and that's from Jason. Well, Jason, I would think if the House of Representatives flips, you're going to see that House doing something about this.
Yeah, I would just also add that that China has put out a list of another $13 billion worth of items that they intend to impose tariffs on. Mm-hmm. And so when you say nothing is going to happen, I highly doubt that the farmers out in the Midwest, and specifically those people who are involved in the industries that China has targeted, are going to sit by and say nothing as they're losing their jobs.
Yeah, what they're going to do is say, Congress, give us money, compensate, and then we will pay for the folly of Trump. He's not playing by any of the old rules, and we are responding with the old form. If you do this, this will happen. Not true under Trump. He's gotten away with everything, and I think it's going to go on a while.
I want to go back to that 45% because I find it so interesting.
The 45%?
In other words, Trump's...
Approval
rating is growing by a point or two.
The idiocracy.
Yeah, and again, I got to tell you, if you haven't seen the Spike Lee movie, if you haven't seen this, you haven't got a good insight into what a good part of America is. This is huge. So, if the other part of America doesn't come out and vote in this election, it is so disappointing. You know, I understand Clinton. Clinton didn't inspire a lot of people to come out. But if you really are going to make a difference in this country, you got to vote. And I don't know why they're not doing it.
I think people are energized. What concerns me is we have gone through about 8 years of this intentional effort to purge, you know, voting rolls throughout the country.
Sure.
We've been going through this kind of suppression. And so that is going to take its toll along with the cyber hacking that we can anticipate.
Yeah, but David, 50% of this country doesn't vote in a presidential election. And it's going to be less than that in a congressional election, which brings that. So the real issue to me is, how do you get people whose major interests are sending their kids to school or getting them some SNAP benefits or doing this
you
to come out?
You protect them and you offer them security at the polls and make sure that their voices matter. I think there's the lot of the people who are being suppressed, as David pointed out, are people who have been intimidated, who have been bullied, who don't have access to transportation, to, knowing that their machines are, I live in an area, we have tons of hill towns which have, antiquated machines. And yes, our state has pulled out some new funding to make updates, but that still hasn't happened. Instead of Space Force, you should be talking about cybersecurity and shoring up what needs
but,
to be.
But that's the failing of that's what I feel is part of the failing of the Democratic Party and not reaching out to those people. Now, I do have some confidence that we're going to see much more interest in the upcoming elections, because Alabama, the race in Alabama is an example of a concentrated effort where African American women made the difference, and now we do not have Roy Moore representing Alabama. We've seen that in Virginia as well, and we're seeing that in other parts of the country. And who knew that in Texas you'd have a Democrat who could actually, put up a good fight against Cruz. Mr. Cruz.
Yeah.
So I do think you're seeing, this response, but it's going to require some talented people. It's going to require some dynamic personalities, and then you'll see the change. But you're right, though, Alan. I mean, if those people who stand to suffer the most aren't inspired enough to get up and go and do something about it, you could have another 4 more years of this.
All right. You certainly could.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue, and we'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. 49 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. We have letters. Alan has vetted them. He likes them, and he's ready to go.
Pick it up. Okay. So Jody from Sheffield says, pardon me.
Is that what Jody from Sheffield said? I'm joking
on this. Isn't it true that there's much information to come out on Kavanaugh's record at the end of October? So why would any Democrat in their right mind, allow McConnell to fast-track this by starting October 1st? Jody from Sheffield.
They're not allowing anything. Yeah, he's doing
exactly
what he
right.
wants.
They don't got the votes. They haven't got the votes. It's that simple.
But as you were saying earlier, Alan, the importance of voting in non-presidential years, this is an example of why you do get out and get involved in your senatorial races and your congressional races.
Voting, the duty to vote comes even when you're not inspired. Mm-hmm. So that does not, it's bad on the Democrats. I certainly knock them. But if you're a citizen of this country, you need to figure out who to vote for, even if you don't like either one.
Yeah, and by the way, when we said you and I, that they haven't got the votes. We weren't talking about the voting population.
Right.
We were talking about the United States senators who have a couple of votes more, and they're just going to ram it through. That's that simple.
You just have to understand parliamentary rules and try to, you know, obstruct, you know, and find some, you know, technicality and be an obstructionist. That's the only thing you can do.
It's way too late now, but I have been retrogressively angry at Obama that he did not bring the Merrick Garland case to court. I can't imagine that even going to the Supreme Court and his having lost. And he played it safe.
I'm so moved right now by retrogressive anger.
Me too.
I'm going to use that again at some point in time today.
Yep. You may. You may. I have a lot of it. There's blame to go on. I mean, Obama, you know, I voted for him. I'd vote for him in a minute again. But he messed up on the Russian interference in the election. He messed up on Merrick Garland. He played it safe because he thought Hillary was going to win.
I am so, but see, my retrogressive anger really is towards the party, because it's this civility
that they
exercise.
Heck with that.
It's like, you know,
the
Republicans, they bring knives to a knife fight, right? And the Democrats, they want to know what the rules are, you know? They show up and ask what the rules are. And they want to appear as though they're just civil and they're so above it. Guess what? You're losing. Scoreboard.
And they mumble.
Badly. Yeah.
Okay, so Don says, hush money. Why is the religious right not outraged that Trump admitted to paying hush money to prostitutes? Well, because they have not in any time gone there. They don't care.
Supreme Court.
Pro-life.
As long as that's
Supreme
Court. That's what it's about.
That's why.
And Don
All else
that.
Matters.
Don's a professor.
Can we also agree to just say hush money from now on? Hush.
I mean, wouldn't you be outraged, you know, just at this whole thing with Mr. Pecker, who owns the, who owns what? Why are you all laughing? He does. He owns, you know, the
National Enquirer.
National Enquirer, right. That Mr. Pecker is, did what he did there. I don't know why you're all laughing, honestly. And number two, I don't know why Ray Graff said he'll give me $5 every time.
That's why I'm laughing. That's $10 at least right now.
So let's see here. Frank says, I haven't heard any discussion of outrage on Faso's TV ad that is so blatantly racist. It is as bad that Willie Horton ad from the 80s. The ad makes Delgado look more like a gangsta rapper rather than a Rhodes scholar. Rhodes is spelled wrong in this case. And a Harvard lawyer that he really is.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but
are we really questioning a conservative Republican ad? As to why people aren't complaining that it's racist. Has anybody seen who the president of the United States is?
There you go.
It's true.
That being said by a person from an asshole country, by the way.
Bob says, strategy. For the moment, I think that the Senate opposition to Trump's strategy is good. Let the convictions sink in slowly. Opposition rhetoric from senators is at the moment redundant and will just wear out our ears. They probably know what they are doing, and that's from Bob. Well, Bob thinks that the Democrats, in other words, know what they're doing in this case. I do not. I think in this case, the outrage has to be there, because if the outrage grows deep enough, then the people in the House and the Senate will have to take a stand, right? And if the Democrats are silent, it will not add to that outrage.
I think that their strategy is stand by and watch the implosion as opposed to get out there and inspire.
Right.
Mm. Right. Okay, so that's from Bob. And John says, hello, Trump supporter here. What if I told you that I don't care who we have relations with? What I care about is his politics, and I agree with them, says the Trump supporter.
But to what end of achieving those politics? I mean, that's the...
Well, I'd like to have that Trump supporter tell me what his politics are, because we've spent about 70 years engaging in a process where we're spreading democracy as well as commingling our economy with other powerful nations of the world, and now we're looking to take a step back and build walls. Please explain to me, Mr. Trump supporter, how that's working. How that's working for you and how that's working for everyone else in this country.
Well, he might say, just for the sake of it, since he's not sitting here, look at the stock market.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And the average person has stocks? But then he'll point to the retirement plans. Okay. For those people who have jobs. That's very good circular reasoning.
Donald Trump's personal truth. Alan just said that Donald Trump lies and lies and lies some more. This is what I say. Donald Trump does not believe that he can be taken down and therefore says what he believes, and that's in capital letters, what he believes, regardless of how anybody else hears it. He cannot stop saying the things he says. You call it lying and he calls it his truth. Well, that's exactly the point that Rudy Giuliani was trying to make the other day. There is no such thing, you know, as truth. But I don't know. I mean, I think that they're in real trouble right now, and he knows it.
Well, yeah, I think there's I do think that there is a floor, and they may have just reached it.
I'd like to believe it. I don't. I think that there is infinite forgiveness on the part of Trump supporters, like the one we just heard from, that if he appoints the wrong people, if he makes mistakes in going after tariffs, he'll pull back. He's new at this. They wanted someone who was going to come in and upset things, and they are going to forgive all of this, and they don't see lies. Oh, all politicians tell lies. Have you heard that? They say that.
I understand that, but
I think that they love him
it's
still.
It's not the Trump supporters that are going to put Trump back in the White House.
It's who put him in the first time, and I think it will be then.
But you had a lot of independents. Independents put him in the White House.
And this letter says, David Soares just raised a huge, capital huge, issue. People who get all their news from Fox and right-wing talk radio are caught in a closed universe of alternative facts and spin. IMHO, the resulting IMHO?
In my humble opinion.
Oh, my humble opinion. Well, I'm a little older. Thank you, Jen. You are too.
Jen is a translator.
Okay, that was my favorite moment of the show. Yeah.
Millennial translation for 500, Alex?
My favorite moment of the show was when you accused someone of mumbling and babbling.
Rambling and babbling. IMHO, the resulting bias should disqualify them from serving on juries in cases involving Trump and his henchmen. Apparently, that was a factor in the Manafort case. Question: do the prosecutors have the option in voir dire, when they pick the jury, to ask prospective jurors where they get their news and screen out ditto heads? What is the answer on that one, David?
Well, they surely can ask those questions. I don't know, you know, what they're going to get, or how they're going to use the information once they receive that message. You're basically gathering your evidence, you're organizing your evidence in a way that is going to be consumed by that juror. I don't know if you're considering their political filters as well in a case where it's just supposed to be about the law and the facts. So I just don't see that.
Isn't that just a question you could potentially ask during jury screening?
Jury screening?
Yeah.
I think you start to get in trouble about when, you know, with questions like that, because you don't want to be, not considered because of your political leanings. You know, we don't ask people whether they're Republicans or Democrats. Who did you vote for the last 15 times? You know, those are questions that are out of bounds, I think.
Mm-hmm. Barbara
versus
says,
where they're getting so the source, though, of information. I think it's an interesting question.
Barbara, and then we have to take a break.
Barbara says, is making voting compulsory an idea worth thinking about? Small added tax if you don't show up at the polls.
other democracies.
Yeah, not in the United States.
I think we'd have a much better chance. Like, how about registration, right? Much easier, early
automatic
voting. Election day, that's not on a work day. That keeps a whole bunch of people from voting.
Soviets
There's lots of stuff to do first before you come to compulsory voting.
All right, Joe.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on what the hell day is it? Thursday morning. Thursday
I know
morning.
It's Thursday. I can hardly pick up my head.
Yeah. Well, it's the 23rd, and we're it's 7 minutes past the hour, and we're thrilled that you're all with us. David, it looks like you're going to say something important.
No, I wasn't. I was just admiring Alan's tie.
That's nice. It's good. We'll go to some letters, and we'll move on to other topics.
Thank you there. Brad says, voter apathy. When democracy was young, a fellow by the name of Plato made a comment to paraphrase those... Oh, paraphrase. I'm starting again. I'm sorry.
Take two.
When democracy was young, a fellow by the name of Plato made a comment, semicolon, to paraphrase, those who consider themselves too smart for politics are destined to be ruled by people dumber than they are. That's from Brad and Lee. All right. And Stacy said, antiquated voting machines? Dear panel, if you think people don't vote because of antiquated voting machines or because they're afraid for their safety, what? You are really out of touch. People don't vote because they are completely disenchanted with the politicians and the process, who they believe are all corrupt and self-interested and working for the lobbyists. People don't believe that their daily lives will actually be at all affected by who is in office. Really? So when their kids can't get SNAP benefits, that would be one of those things that you would be looking at? Or, I had this guy in class in 1970. No matter what I'd say, he'd say, Professor, it doesn't matter.
Well, you know what? But also, I'm sorry, real quick. But on the antiquated, voting machines, I think we still stand by that. I mean, if we had a way, we have a way where you can take out a dollar out of your bank account anywhere in the world, and it is immediately checked. You can't tell me that there isn't a way for us to vote at home that is safe and secure that you could do that. So I think in the technology, if it were easier and you made it easier to vote and there was a way to vote,
I'd like to make a prediction. If the Republicans in New York take the New York State Senate, you will have improved access to the polls, because it is an absolute certainty that Republicans around this country are much more likely not to want people to go and vote than Democrats are. And that has to do with affluence and everything else. However, with that said, I want to offer a caveat. Pretty rambling, huh, Rosemary?
I don't know. You had not enough coffee today?
Okay.
I don't know.
No, I'm drinking as I go. Okay. So I want to make a caveat to that, and that is that the Democrats who are in the Assembly, for example, got here under the existing rules, too. So no matter when it comes down to whether or not they're going to vote to make things a lot easier and to have some kid in their congressional district take them on or in their state senate district, it might be that you'll be surprised as to whether they're where they should be also.
Well, what we've seen, happen in this country over, the last, 40 years is this concentrated effort to deprive people of their most, prized franchise.
And by who?
Even by those communities that are engaged in exercising their franchise, we now have gerrymandering that will, manipulate the outcome. For those people who believe, who are sitting at their homes saying, it just doesn't matter and I'm a cynic and government, they're all liars, blah, blah, blah. Well, if it doesn't matter, then why do we spend so much money and energy trying to prevent you from doing that? You're helping them win.
Mm-hmm. Succinct, to the point. It was a brilliant analysis.
Not rambling, focused.
Yeah.
Take a lesson.
Yeah. Jeff wrote a letter which is a little too long. Oh, Rosemary, so
rambling.
Pleased with it.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, by the way, sir, during the break, asked me to give the admonishments. Please keep them short.
Yeah.
And 140 characters is great. Proofread them. so we know what you're saying, and also no winks or anything like that.
Or abbreviation.
Can I just point something out here? There's a little bit of a hypocrisy where we verbally can ramble, but you can't ramble in writing. You can't.
No. You can point it out, but Alan's going to ignore
okay.
you.
Oh, stop it, Rosemary. I do not ramble. You're the rambler. Okay, so here we go. Jeff says, comment, if you want to understand why no matter what Trump and his cronies do, no matter how corrupt they are in our eyes, they are, his base continues to support him. Put in the context of this article, the only way his base will lose support for him is if he begins support policies such as welcoming immigration, supporting DACA, transgender rights, et cetera. And then it goes on and on and on.
The focus on his base is misplaced, people. Just get away from his base. Those people, that flock will always flock to the felons, to him. That's just get away from it. Focus on other people.
I have to disagree because it's 45%. That's what he's getting right now. That's his base. After two years, they weren't just conned. After 2 years of seeing what he's doing, they're with him. And in a community like ours, in a society where 50% don't vote, that 45% block is very meaningful.
But you're saying 45% as if that's the majority. But and let me remind you, these are the same people that were in that were at his event screaming "lock her up" the other day. So
correct.
I don't know who these people are, what they're watching, and what world they're living in.
Well,
but they're voting for him,
and they like it.
And there will be less independent people voting for him. This in the next.
That's true.
Cycle.
You're both right. Let me just say, I am just sure that 50% of the people don't vote in a presidential election. Right now, if you take that 50% that doesn't vote, tell me what the split is between those who have and those who have not.
Okay. Before we, you had raised an issue a little earlier that I want to take on, because we say that some people who are, you know, who suffer from apathy say, well, it doesn't matter because it doesn't affect me. Wait until tax season where you can no longer claim, you know, the interest on what you pay on your mortgage, on your house. Wait until that happens and people, you know, people begin to wake up to that fact.
So that's December of this year at the earliest. And so you're the midterms are over. You're talking about 2020.
Yeah, but you also have farmers. You also have a lot of people impacted by the tariffs.
And
they won't be pleased.
What gets covered in the news? Rosemary mentioned it was wrong that the Tibbetts murder was not covered on some networks. There was also a recent report of a Utah man who shot a code enforcement officer in the head, then tried to light her body on fire, a white man, U.S. citizen. Another of a CO man who killed his father, his family, and stuffed them in oil barrels. Jen, what's CO man? Another of a CO man. Maybe Colorado.
Company?
Colorado man. Yeah. Who killed his family?
Oh, that was the Colorado
guy.
And
yeah.
Stuffed them in oil barrels. Didn't see that on the cable either.
All got covered.
Well,
yeah.
I did. And they all got covered. That's ridiculous. The reality is not everything gets covered nationally. What happens to Tibbetts was awful, but awful things happen every day in this country. Why is it particularly wrong?
No, that's a national story. Well, you have an undocumented alien. Sorry, I'm speaking like a Trumper, but accused of the murder of a college girl in Iowa in Trump company. Sorry, that's international news.
But I think if the criticism is that CNN and MSNBC that are covering a lot of political events didn't touch on it, and you're being critical about that. Well, the decision to politicize a homicide, mm-hmm. you know, was Fox's choice. I mean, you could find a whole host of Rachel.
It had been a story prior to that.
It had been a story prior to that
before there was any mention of the illegal. I mean, it was a young college girl who went out for a jog and didn't return. It was an awful story. Why do some stories get picked up and others don't? Here's my guess. She was cute.
Yeah, that had
you know,
that played
and
it.
And they had the boyfriend and they had the parents and they and
okay,
so
okay, but one more thing.
It's political from the beginning.
One more thing here. David in the long run is of course right, and the two of you are dead wrong.
And God, I hate when he does that. And, I forgot this.
What are we wrong about?
Yeah.
I'm about to tell you. Don't you need to take a tone with me?
I'm no tone. Not yet, anyway.
You just called us wrong. We're taking a tone.
Okay. But here's what. David is talking about an administration that is really, in so many ways, crucifying the poor in this country. That is saying you can't have your benefits and your SNAP benefits and your kid may die as a result of that. Or health care, we're going to take away your health care. We're going to take away your health care. Those are such potent stories that they really do go to the head of the line over the stuff that the New York Post or the Daily News would be covering on a daily basis. You know, you write for an excellent paper, Jen, the Berkshire Eagle. And the Berkshire Eagle does not take the sensationalist way of doing things.
I mean, in terms of coverage, you will always have a difference between broadcast and
well, sure, because the paper has several things.
I mean, if you look at the Des Moines Register, they have the most in-depth and thorough and vetted coverage of the Tibbetts case than CNN will ever have, mm-hmm. Because they're there. And that's just a matter of fact.
Sure. Well, I take great issue with you people. Ann says, what gets covered?
We don't really know what charges.
What gets covered on the news? Rosemary mentioned that it was wrong that the Tibbetts murder was not covered on some networks.
Did you just read that?
No, I think I read another one. No, maybe I did.
That's what
okay,
yeah,
so
that's
sorry.
Yeah,
you make a good point, Jen. I'm glad somebody's listening.
That's what happens when you bring a couple editors in the studio.
Eloise says, a rebuttal of a comment by Alan. With all that we're learning every day and how rigged the 2016 election really was, is it necessary to continue to abase Hillary Clinton by saying she didn't inspire people to vote, even though she won the popular vote by 3 million votes in an election rigged against her? And that's Eloise in Red Hook. Okay, thank you, Eloise. And federal versus state cases, says Mary Ellen, would one of you please address the difference between the president's ability to pardon someone found guilty? My understanding is that people prosecuted by states cannot receive a presidential pardon.
Nope.
They cannot, right?
Nope. They
Which is
cannot.
Why this story today that we are seeing that the attorney general in New York is investigating the Trump University story again and is subpoenaing what's his name?
The Trump Charity Organization.
Yeah, no, he's subpoeing
Cohen.
Cohen.
Some of Cohen's records. Yeah, that's the guy. In support of their investigation,
that's
which
right.
is a state investigation.
Because Lanny Davis said that he has important information, not only for the feds, but for the state.
What do you think of that, David? Another Rich Cohen comment from yesterday was that Lanny Davis is not representing Michael Cohen very well. He's getting what he wants, Lanny Davis wants.
That's absurd. That's really absurd because his representation is of his client.
I agree.
His client walked into a court and pled guilty to an indictment, therefore putting the sentencing in the hands of a judge. And, what they're playing for is a leniency. They're going to play for a favorable memorandum from the prosecutors. And so this is his only out. You have to understand the FBI, with a lawfully executed search warrant, retrieved just about everything from Mr. Cohen's home.
And really, I heard it was a midnight raid.
His home broke in, right? Like stormtroopers?
Like stormtroopers. Yep. Yeah. I heard that.
Yeah, but that's one version of the events. But the truth is that, there's a treasure trove of information. So the idea that a person walked into a courthouse and pled guilty to the indictments, that's amazing. That's amazing. And it demonstrates how rock solid the evidence against Mr. Cohen was. And now Mr. Cohen, the only thing he can do is work, with the government, cooperate with whatever level of government he has to cooperate with and demonstrate his remorse and hope that the judge shows him mercy during sentencing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last sentence of this letter, very good letter by Mary Ellen, is if Manafort is guilty on a federal level for tax evasion fraud, couldn't his home state prosecute for that regarding his state tax filings? The answer is yes, they could.
Well, I mean, generally speaking, you're not going to be prosecuted by multiple jurisdictions and waste taxpayer resources that way. What you do usually for example, in Albany, when we have a case, and we also know that there's a possibility here of a federal prosecution, we speak to one another. We look at the evidentiary rules of both the federal rules of practice and the state rules, and we make that determination based on who's in a better position to prosecute the case. And generally speaking, that's how we work together. And Mr. Manafort, I mean, Mr. Manafort has so many more problems than mm-hmm. just the eight
I think the letter was, could the state do it? And the answer is, yes, the state could do it. And your answer is terrific, which is, it wouldn't be worth it to do it.
Yeah.
All right, we just have about 2 minutes, and so we can talk briefly about one other topic, unless anybody else has anything that anybody wants to mention, any things going on? All right, good. Nobody has to plug anything? Good.
I want to plug that, how we will miss Rosemary.
Oh, thank you.
She goes away, because everybody needs a little abuse in their life.
That's what I that hope is. I'm happy to have provided that to you.
So the only other the topic that we didn't get to today was the Kavanaugh topic and the fact that Senate Democrats want to know whether Kavanaugh crossed a line as the source during the Clinton probe.
Listen, I think this is the most important appointment that we have. You know, forget the presidency, forget the Senate, forget Congress. This is the most important appointment in public service. That is the appointment to the Supreme Court of the United States, which is a lifetime appointment. And therefore, the idea that you're going to, you know, just put someone in without first and foremost reviewing their record, you know, in litigation. And I know that there's a tendency here to be paying attention to more of the controversial issues, for example, whether or not he was leaking grand jury information from the Clinton investigation.
Right.
But that aside, you should have this person's record. You should have time to vet this person before you even have that hearing to confirm.
All right. We will end there. My thanks to everybody for participating this morning. We always welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC, panel at WAMC.org. Excuse me. Panel at WAMC.org. Rosemary, safe travels.
Thank you very much. I'll see you next time I'm in town,
I hope. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
And if you're in town, you'll be welcome.
Oh, good.
You know that.
Thank you.
He'll have forgotten.
I don't know. I got some letters saying, why do you treat her like a queen? You know, are you afraid of her because of her rude and aggressive manner?
Yeah, we got
yeah,
one.
That's
one
exactly.
Letter.
Yeah. Clearly,
said,
we do.
And I answered, and I said, well, I love her.
Retrogressive.
Retrogressive, right.
Retrogressive.
David, thank you very much. Jen, see you next week as well. And Alan, thank you. We'll be back after this.
Thanks.